I see some hair, like a hairdo. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a couple of pom-poms.
I didn't say the sword couldn't have pom-poms. Welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vin Stone here at LGC Actual. I'll be switching the bits, doing the Nightmare Fuel. Along for our little ride is one, Jordan Swung. You know him, you love him. The man who only plays with modern controls, because he's that modern. Yes. And of course, Pedro Mateus, joining us from the Isles of Britannia. And together with you, Shot Realm Dynamic, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. What's up? What's new? What's going on? We got a big show for you this afternoon, this evening, whatever time. Motorcycle Guy!
Special guest star, West Coast Choppers!
Every single time.
Dude, I was getting worried. I haven't heard him in a while, man.
Where did he die?
Well, I mean, that happens to motorcycle. That could be like Motorcycle Guy Mark. Whatever.
Yeah, it's like Robin. There's like 16 of these fuckers. They just keep dying. And
yeah, this is Robin. Oh, right. Oh, dude, that's a dark wall somewhere in the Batcave, isn't it?
Right, where yeah. Just like,
put another one down. Tonight, a lot of Steam stuff. Valve has moved. They did some good. And we're going to wrap things up with a little bit of flat sales for the game industry, but we might be celebrating it. So stick around for that. But first, I want your opinion. We were talking in the pre-show about game difficulty, right? This is a thing, you know, most games, even back in the NES days, man, you could select your game difficulty. Like, what's your standard? Easy, medium, hard, right? Those are your three go-tos. Between the three of us, that would be about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Unless you have those games that just start at normal and then have hard.
Right. Well, I mean, I think famously, what was it? Rockman, Mega Man, the North American and European version was the nerf down easy mode.
Mega Man's an interesting one because, like, there is definitely an easy mode you can select via the boss order, or you can do, like, a harder mode if you, like, pick a different
Right. Mode. I'm still going through Darksiders 3. I got stuck at a boss. I got stuck at the same boss the internet got stuck at. Nobody likes this boss. This boss is bullshit. He's an anomaly. He's a pain in the ass. And I play on normal. I don't know about you at home. I'm not looking to pull my fucking hair out. Usually default. Unless it's like too easy. Because I don't like story mode, right? This is what Darksiders got. It's got story. It's got normal. Then it's got like six levels of Dark Souls-ness to it. I keep bouncing against this boss, like, about a week. I'd come in every now and then, maybe, you know, once every other day, and I'd put a little time in it. Like, I gotta get by this, because this is the only game right now that's even remotely interesting to me, and I want to finish the story. Couldn't do it. So I had to do the thing. I changed the difficulty setting. And that's what I want to know. Have you ever hit a spot in a game, and how do you feel about it when you, like... Or are you just not able to get that good? Or are you justifying it to yourself? I'm like, I just want to finish the rest of this game. The rest of the internet agrees with me that this is some bullshit right here that shouldn't even be in the game. It's a unique situation. And you've already...
Yeah, in that specific case, I think that I would probably be okay with. Generally, I don't like doing it because it's between me and the game, right? Like, right? Yeah, this is a... I need to beat my head against this thing. Until I beat it, or it will defeat me, those are the two options. I can win, or I can lose.
You don't want to admit defeat.
And it's a bad mark in like, your head, because it's all in your head.
Yeah.
It's no, I was defeated by the thing.
Going back to what we were talking about in the pre-show, it's a fucking video game. You shouldn't get that mad about things. It's stupid. It's not real.
Right.
It's,
that's the rational part of your brain talking to you. And I'm sitting there going, man, like... Yeah. I spend a day not even like thinking it. I'm like, you know, I could change it. Change it to story mode. Nuke this motherfucker. Kick it back up to where I need it to be and finish the game. That's what I ended up doing. That is what I ended up doing. I felt a little bit vindicated by this, though. Because when I beat that guy, I got a Steam achievement and I went and looked at it. Only 43% of the people who played this game have beaten this boss.
Steam achievements are a great way to tell exactly where the wall is.
I was just personally surprised because as a Linux gamer, Linux gamers, we are better video game players than Windows and Mac. Well, at least Windows players and console player. Well, maybe not even console. Definitely just Windows players. Now, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Hear it out. Watch that. Look at that. All right. So we don't have, because here's something I looked for. I'm like, is there like a trainer on Linux yet? Like, no, I was like, yes. I was at this point of like, I just need to get by this one motherfucker and I'm good for the rest of the game. Clear sailing. And there wasn't. And I'm like, I've grown up with that. Like, I've never used a traitor in a video game before.
The cheat engine works for almost everything, though.
To that point, though, you know, back in the day, you couldn't switch for difficulties in the middle of your game.
Right. That's a new thing.
It was a thing that you selected at the start of the game, mm-hmm. and that was it. If you hit a wall and you didn't necessarily have the option to do that. And I think it's good that like that is no longer the case. I think giving people the option, and again, it is the option, and there is no cosmic entity, there is no judge on high that is recording every single move you make in a video game and being like, ah, you switched it to easy mode for this thing, therefore you go to hell. It's good to have the option, and I think we gotta like remove the stigma of doing shit like that.
I don't even think it's a stigma. You just got to live with yourself. You set a goal for yourself, and if you can't meet that goal, like that's a perfectly normal human reaction. Not necessarily with like video games, but with, like,
yes, you failed yourself.
Oh no! There absolutely is a stigma in video games. Specifically, Pedro was quoting that exact fucking post that vocalizes that stigma. So
no, I wasn't arguing if there was a stigma in video games about it. I was like, that's just like that applies to everything, though. You know, you're like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. It's a good thing that we can't put life on easy mode because we'd all be on story mode.
It's the whole like adopting a process oriented mindset and not being results oriented, right? Like you got to be in there for like the long haul and for doing the thing, not actually accomplishing it.
So let me know in the comments. Do you have a problem with like just switching up in and out with video game? Like you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to nerf this down for a bit. And what do you think like of adaptive difficulty? Like I've never even had a like reasonable time with that. I'll just put it in like default settings, usually good enough. Sometimes I have to kick it up. This is the first time in recent memory that I've had to dial it down, but I knew it was in that mode because then I started after I got past the boss and I'm like, I'm just nerfing shit left and right. And I'm like, this is boring. Cause yeah, you need that level of challenge. At least I do.
Adaptive difficulty also comes with the issue that the system needs to work because, if you, know Civ 11, you should watch his videos. He's very funny. He did a video on Max Payne this week, and Max Payne is a game that had an adaptive difficulty, supposedly, except it's broken. It's entirely fucking broken.
Are you talking about the original Max Payne?
Yeah.
Why would you expect that to work?
That's the thing. That's like a glaring example because it's fresh in my memory because I saw his video. It's like, yeah, no, that shit's just... completely broken.
Adaptive difficulty is also a little gaslighty because it's like, did I actually overcome this challenge or did the game throw me a pity fuck? Because when the game AI fucks up and Super Hard Boss just like falls in love with a corner and lets me just beat his ass for 20 minutes, I'm cool with that. I will call that a legit win.
Well, but see, this is another part of the thing. So I'm playing this and like, I'm going to say all three of us, we probably think differently because we know what a fucking vision cone is and we understand like where you're paths are going to be. I'm cheesing my way through Darksiders 3 when I get a chance. If I'm like, I don't want to deal with this motherfucker, let me find out how far can he walk. All right, can I do that? Can I reach him with that? All right, I'll sit here for like a minute and a half and kill him. Like, watch. I'll have a problem doing that. I don't even think twice about it.
The one that clicked for me is like, your player character walk speed is almost like double the enemy walk speed. So you can just outrun anything at any time. Mm-hmm. Like, straight up. You do not have to fight these guys.
One of the beautiful things about like they were trying so hard to Dark Souls fucking Darksiders 3 is that it's very much Dark Souls and you can just run by everything. You don't have to fight anything. Jordan, outside of playing with your wax rings, what you been up to, man?
I tried to take them to the fires of Mount Doom, but they melted ahead
of time. On the way. Like, God damn it.
It's like, ah, fuck. I should have paid $20 for the rubber thing. Yeah, the rubber ring to rule them all. Home renovations, got rid of all my fucking garbage. It's nice.
For the Casio keyboard.
It's so weird. It feels illegal to walk through my house and not walk into shit. It's this very like empty thing. I had this sense memory of like, I'm moving out, but I'm not. I'm just getting rid of all my garbage. But this is the same process you go through when you're moving. You're like, what do I actually want to transport? Not you.
But there's more of a difficulty multiplier because you only have to move this stuff once and never see it again. You have to worry about like unmoving it. Load and unload. You're like, nope, this is just
load it in the box. Go away.
Pedro Mateus. You never answered my question, man. There's just this...
I don't know what you were talking about.
I never know what he's talking about.
Yeah. See, that's a secret. You think it's a bug, but it's not, gentlemen. It's a fucking mothering feature. All right, so we're not going to play along with the joke. What have you been up to?
It's been interesting to learn to only focus on the one thing at work. You only worry about the Confluence and Jira instances. Oh, that feels refreshing. There's still a lot of work to do because there's a lot of people using it, but it feels refreshing to only have to worry about the one thing.
Until you just become the Jira guy, and then all the Jira problems go to that, you.
That's fine. That's okay. Honestly,
for now,
having seen the shit, I'm very happy just dealing with the one thing. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think the ticketing system for the horse is going to be?
Oh, the horse is still on track. It's old school. You got to run that shit off of Apache in your CGI bin.
Perl?
Yeah, mod Perl. Statically compiled. It's the Steam
Linux.
Yeah, so you think Gabe really likes Peter Gabriel? Pulled out the sledgehammer this week. So
he's climbing up on Salisbury Hill.
Come on, you guys suck. All right, but not as much as the botters who are ruining Team Fortress 2. So much so that Valve has decided, fuck you guys, we're just gonna ban you. And that's it. If you get banned, you're fucked. They are permanent, non-negotiable, and not removed by Steam support. So if you honestly, zero tolerance policy for botting and cheating is probably the easiest thing they can implement. I was digging around the TF2 forums and subreddits just to see if I can get a sense of how many people were banned, any details surrounding that. There isn't any. It seems like it was a manual ban wave. The bans are non-negotiable, and that's kind of it. There's probably going to be more coming. And it's good, right? You gotta make TF2 playable for the people who want to play it and not go to the... What was that one site again? I spaced it on it, but it has all the TF2 servers, the community ones.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
Go check our show notes, LinuxGameCast.com.
Two weeks ago or some shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude, they fucking threw this down, man. What's gonna get you banned? Of course, cheating, manipulation, botting, intentionally interfering with normal output. Basically anything they feel like. Game bans for all of the above are not removed. Well, dude, who can you tell me why I got banned? No. Can I appeal my no?
You know what you did.
I was not using my my friend did it.
my little brother was using my account.
Yeah, don't care. But the answer
too fucking bad.
No. Can I move my Team Fortress 2? No.
get fucked.
Team Fortress 2 game bans are permanent, non-negotiable. It will never be removed. I love the entire tone of this. Whoever wrote this was like, fuck all sales, all right?
You made me do something. You made me
get out of somebody was mad at Valve for having it.
People have been complaining over and over that TF2 is broken and Valve isn't paying attention. And they created the hashtag fix TF2 thing. And there was the big drive to get the community together. Yeah. To force Valve into action. So now Valve is just going, all right, if you're going to bitch about wanting to see those bots gone, then no one gets back in once they're gone. All right, cool. And Valve doesn't like when that level of attention's on them. They only tend to act when there's a significant media awareness and push for them to act. And this whole
if they're going to be sued. Yeah.
That'll do it, man. But they'll definitely hold that grudge. I've seen a lot this definitely, to what Pedro was saying, you might think of it like this. It got them to implement the thing that I'm sure that they were already working on. Because you don't spin this shit up in 3 weeks. I'm sorry, Reddit, you didn't do it. Maybe you help give them that push, right?
It's been a few months, though.
I don't think you implement it in this in just a few months.
Yeah. I mean, Pirate Software had some stuff about that, where you basically just like spend a couple months collecting all the accounts and you do them all at once just to like stop them from ever having a chance of adapting.
Now you hope that there is a system in place, because if they just did do a hard manual thing,
it's not scalable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. You're going to have to do it again at some point.
And this is Valve, so let's hope that they have a system in place. Now, none of us play Team Fortress 2, but it's one of those games that, like, Valve is just constantly, you know, I talked about it last time we brought this up, like, they had no idea they were going to have to support this shit. Like, what, 15 years later?
It was an add-in game for Orange Box. It was like, hey, here's a bonus thing that came with Half-Life 2.
And it was a remake of Capture the Flag CTF World for Quake. Mm-hmm, yeah. Like, so, all right. If you play it, you're happy now. Go forth and shoot your pew-pews. But something that's a bit more exciting, I think, for everyone, is we're going to be able to play, I'm telling you here first, this is breaking news, Roblox coming to your Steam Deck, guaranteed.
This one comes from Brad Lynch on formerly Twitter. It's about some fresh Deckard copium to hold on to. And it's about SteamDB. They went on SteamDB and they found a couple of unknown apps that were linked back to the Steam VR package, which, you know, the whole Steam Deckard thing is supposed to be the new big VR thing for Steam. And one of the things was The Lab, which already existed and it just reused a bunch of the artwork. The other thing was Waydroid, which is not new, but it's new on Steam. If you've been using Wayland, and if you've had the itch or that one Android app that you really want to run on your desktop, you probably tried the Waydroid way of doing things. And it is one of the things that he mentions. It's almost native performance, and he's not kidding, because it's quicker. I have a passively cooled Chromebook. It's an Acer R11. It's old and it's passively cooled, so it's very, very slow. And I remember starting the Android container on Chrome OS would take over a minute for it to actually show you the things. Just having regular Linux installed on it and installing Waydroid, it takes about 30 seconds for the Android OS session to start. It's like 30 seconds, like half the time that it did on Chrome OS. That's good. That's very good. And yeah, you can run games and you can run everything else with basically the native performance that whatever you're running it on can afford, which is awesome. And seeing games like Roblox, Fortnite,
ZZZ.
Genshin Impact.
Yeah.
Insert big booby anime shooter here.
Yeah.
All the Android games just running really, really well on the Steam Deck. I think the big one is going to be introducing controller compatibility for games that don't necessarily support it on their Android versions, which there are a lot of. So
throwing Steam input into that might be a very, very interesting modifier. Yeah, I just in general bringing Android support into Steam. Although I'm not sure how Valve would necessarily feel or about being a front end for the Play Store, nor am I certain how Google would feel about Valve being a front end or for the
I don't think Google would mind if the Play Store was available.
Like, I've never played around with Waydroid. Like, how does it deal with, like, you know, the stuff that you paid for from the Play Store? How do you get that?
If you are just setting it up, you have to register that device as a developer device. Okay. Otherwise, you can't use the Play Store.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
If they're integrating this directly, and if they're not using the Play Store exactly, they're just using it as a way to load an APK, then you don't even have to worry about that.
I mean, it still probably wouldn't stop Google from trying to sue them or something, but like...
Not really. Android as an operating system is effectively...
The Play Store, Pedro. Play Store.
That's the thing. You don't have to have the Play Store. You can just have Android to run an APK.
That worked out super well for Amazon, right?
It worked out very well for Fortnite.
Yeah.
And only Fortnite, because they got kicked off of that.
That's the thing. It is an option. It is not the ideal option. But then again, all of the Android stuff is going to be obfuscated, because if it is going to be running in the background, and if you use Waydroid, you know that you can just start an app, and it doesn't... you might see the Android background for a second, but then you just get the app. That's it.
No, and like ultimately, if this pans out, I think this is going to be really cool. I think the demo that they showed was it like running in a VR session via GameScope. So yes. That's kind of neat. Yeah,
I'm down with it, man. Like more reasons for people to buy a Steam Deck. I mean, if you make it seamless, you know, that's it. We kind of know where the line is, like how much people will go through to like get their emulators up and running on Steam 69. Deck.
It's nice.
And this is good. Minecraft. Hey.
Yeah. Bedrock Edition Minecraft.
Dude.
More games playable on Steam is just good in general, right?
And You know, this is Valve. Maybe Valve's already sent a letter to Google like they did to Nintendo and be like, y'all motherfuckers are gonna sue us.
I mean, there is precedent for Google and Valve working together because of like the Glassfish stuff, right? Like the Mesa project, they were both collaborate. They're both heavily funding that, and even though that got like split apart, I don't think that was anything due to an ideological thing. It was just like, hey, we're grabbing all the mobile people. Hey, we're grabbing all the PC people. Great.
And I don't think anybody likes working with Valve. Not out of like, you know, they're bad or anything. They just like they're gonna do what they want when they want.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no like prodding Valve. I was like, get wrecked. We're Valve.
I think it would be in Google's interests to have, say, the Play Store as a thing on Steam, because that would just mean more money for Google as well. So,
Google's going to release a ROM for the Steam Deck where you launch Steam through the Play Store so they get a cut.
Oh, no. It's Android for the Steam Deck and only Android. You can dual boot it's Steam OS or Android. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, something we talked about in the pre super shows and was fighting games. Go back and listen to that if you're a patron. The interesting news, and I'm just, this is just like, this is too weird for my brain to accept as truth. Valve was, and is probably still, working on a new fighting game. A new fighting game as opposed to their original fighting game, which was, remind me again, Jordan?
Oh, fuck. It was, the name of it escapes me, but it was Voidheart Symphony, would you say?
Blade Symphony.
Blade Symphony was, it wasn't made by Valve, that was made on the Source Engine, but it was a sword fighting game. On the Source Engine, so yes, technically. Well,
from Gabe Follower, you know, which is the Valve leaky account on the X's, says, I can't share much right now because I don't know more, but Valve was working on a, quote, air quotes, fighting game for the last few years. I have no idea if it was canceled or not, which is, you know, it's Valve. Valve is the black mystery box of game development, to which... You know, do we want Valve Fighter Turbo Alpha 2 Championship Edition? Or this is something we were debating. Are we going to get, you know, Super Steam Bros? Like, how would they
Super
even go about
Steam
that?
Super Steam Bros Melee.
Yeah. Super Steam Bros Balls. Yeah, and like, I that was like everyone's first thought, right? Like, because in my mind, the closest thing that Valve has to like iconic characters are like Gordon, Barney, and the TF2 Bdoofs. Maybe, and we were talking about this in the pre-show as well, like maybe bringing in some of the Dota characters to fill out that roster and like give them some more name recognition or something like that.
And I think they're iconic to us, but the entire generation of people that are still playing like actively developed games like TF2, we're stretching that, but definitely Dota. They're like, Half-Life, what? Oh, that old thing, that game, that thing, oh, yeah. Kids play with that, like, right?
Yeah, that was the game they put out before Auto Chess, right?
Mm.
Oh yes, Battle Lords. That's the other game that Valve released that got shit canned very quickly.
Underlords, Dota Underlords,
Underlords, oh. Yeah,
Underlords. yeah, I don't know, but like, yeah, maybe Dota 2 becomes like the obscure Capcom character of Super Smash Bros. Because when you're on that character select stream for Super Smash Bros., there's like Mario, Luigi, and like who the fuck is Marth? I never played Fire Emblem. Nobody knows who the fuck this guy is.
That's the thing, as Blade Symphony mentioned earlier, there was supposed to be like a remake or a remaster of Blade Symphony.
Yeah, it's on Steam. The guy's still working on it. It's just one dude. I got it in my
memory. That version is still getting updated.
Sucks dick. It's supposed to be a realistic fighting swords. It's none of these things, man.
It's still the original because it's still on that same original build that they started with.
Would you say it's supposed
to be like a newer version of the Source Engine.
Would you say it's less of a Blade Symphony and more of a Blade One Man Band?
Sure.
Blade Dysphoria.
Blade Dysphoria?
Is that the fourth Blade movie? Blade Dysphoria? Starring Wesley Snipes?
I mean, would you not go see it?
I would. I would all right. 100%
That's
go watch
that
movie.
That's all that matters, man. When was the last update for the old Blade Symphonic? Last year, 2023. Patch 7. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. I've downloaded it, played it. I mean, it looks like, oh, that might be, but it's not. Not even a little bit. It's not enjoyable in the slightest. Like, kudos to the person updating it and maintaining it. And
oh, they have a Gunblade? Cool, I can be like, what's his name from Final Fantasy VIII?
They made the game free to play, but if you want to buy the weapons and whatnot, that's the what's left of the monetization scheme. But I had a look at their Steam forums, and the developer is just basically saying no one's buying anything anymore, so the game isn't making any money.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, all you have to do is play it to figure that out. You know, it's a thing of a different time. From like 2014, people might have been, because like I paid attention to this because it was made available on Steam for Linux in the old days before we had the Protons and everything. I'm like, all right, I'll try anything. And just not terribly enjoyable, but that's going to wrap us up for the Steam news. We got not zero, but one new game to talk about this week.
One game that deserves a mention just for the sake of it, because it has a native Linux version. Mini Party. Yes.
It's relevant for us because we,
well, yeah, the after show games. Yeah. Yes. But it is very much, we have Stumble Buddies at home with a few extra game types here and there. There's the football, there's the dodge the bombs, there's the get from one side of the course to the other, there's the driving that Stumble Buddies also has. It's a party game, and it's trying to be as simple as possible, although those pickup icons, the little lightning bolts, those look very revolty. Like,
it's revolting,
dangerously so. Like the RC car game.
Is that your sticking point? Like, F this, I'm out.
No, my sticking point is this is very much taking some cues from Stumble Buddies or Stumble Guys, whatever the game is actually called.
When they say LAN mode, is it actually online, or do I gotta set up like WireGuard or some shit?
Nah, dude, it's like hot dog mode.
So I just try and throw hot dogs at people.
100%.
It's LAN or a couch co-op. That's it. Actual multiplayer.
Multiplayer party game. And I was like, say the line, Bart. It's like single player only.
Well, again, LAN. So like, if I go to 192.168. Dot whatever. Dot colon. I don't know.
You can use. You can set up your own WireGuard LAN.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I got to set up Amachi. I got to set up like Tailscale or something.
It's got LAN PVP. I mean, you know, maybe it will only work, you know, on local host on your internet, but like,
no, only token ring support. No Ethernet.
Yes, you have to pre-share.
Remember
your,
the first time you set
keys
up like a LAN? Were you of the age? Have you attended a LAN party? Are you too young?
I attended the one. There were more that happened, but I did not enjoy the social aspect very much.
All right.
I've been to a few.
That was amazing. I remember the first time we got a group of people together and we took our bit. We played, Unreal Tournament, Face. Which one was that?
Face to Face or Facing Worlds?
Facing Worlds. C2F Face is the name of the map. I don't remember. Sniper map with a castle on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that was amazing because we had Windows people and all that, and I plugged in my weird ass Linux box and it just worked. And I'm like, I can play with you because I had no great times. Don't miss them. So let's go ahead and hop into the news with the most shocking thing to me that I thought Pedro would be giddy about.
I am very happy. I'm genuinely surprised that it's the actual Nexus people that are making a concentrated effort to bring an official app to Linux, which they have. It's an alpha. It's an app image. You can download it. You can try it. I had some difficulties getting the getting the login to work properly because they don't give you an option to log in the app. You have to go to the website, and then it gives you an NXM link. The problem is that I had NXM links already bound to Vortex, you know, the other mod manager that's been around for a while that works. So Vortex just grabbed that link and it wouldn't let go.
If you don't have that set up, it just opens up normally.
Yes, but yeah, it you can get it to work, and there's they also set up a little desktop file to handle the MIME type of NXM if you didn't already have one, and it works. It from what I could see, it found all of the mods that I'd left. Kudos or thumbs up or whatever they call them ratings on, and it's good. What I really want, because they clearly have the setting the MIME type correctly and everything else, that's done. What I want is to have mod lists. Mod list compatibility, which has been the big thing for both Vortex and Mod Organizer 2. It is the ability to have like 100 or 200.
Damn!
What moon universe are we in, lads?
No macOS support. I was looking at the system requirements for this thing, and they got a reasonable list of Linux requirements and depths, and I'm like scrolling down, and it's like big red, and I'm like macOS is not currently supported.
What is X Herbo? That's what I want to know.
When you're older, I'll tell you.
There.
I rolled up some X Herbo and smoked that before the show, but I'm not sure if that's like the same
100
one.
Or 200 mod lists going at once with a simple click for your Skyrims or your Fallout New Vegas or something like that.
Yeah.
That's a big selling point. Yeah. So,
especially, and it's an app image, easy to get up and running on the deck. I don't ever fuck around with the mods. I bring up it because I know Pager's installed mods under Linux before. Okay. There used to be a mod manager for Unreal on Linux way back in the day, and I don't even think it no longer works. They had a TK interface, dude, to tell you how long ago it was. That was the last time I ever fucked around with mods. Like Skyrim mods, I look at them, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. You can have Rando the Macho Mando Savage and Skyrim and all the other stuff. I'm like, that's cool. What do I do? Under Linux, you got to go through an adventure more often than not.
Patch some executive roles, change some hex values here and there.
I'm really happy that you can set an EXT4 drive to be case insensitive.
What's the drive? I just bought a Steam Deck. I don't need drive.
Because, yeah, that's the thing. A Steam Deck.
SD card.
SD cards.
You mean my Nintendo thing?
Yeah, your Nintendo Game Boy cartridge that you cram into the back of your Steam Deck.
This one doesn't taste
as good.
Yeah,
the thing that you pop out of the back here.
Yeah, I know. They changed the recipe. They shrunk them, too. It's shrinkflation.
Oh, my game cartridge. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Okay. That's a drive?
It holds like 512 gigs. At least that one does.
No, it's a pedal. It's not a drive.
But yeah, it is... It's surprising to have the actual Nexus people going, yeah, we'll do Linux, because all the previous efforts outside of R2 mod man, sure, but
hey,
Vortex,
give them credit, man. R2 mod man works like a motherfucker.
That works. That legitimately works, because Vortex, no Linux version. Mod organizer 2, no Linux version. The previous Nexus mod manager that they used to have, the old .NET one, no Linux version, and that shit barely worked.
What's the over-under on like STL getting this cooked into their solution?
Honestly, not... If it's going to be Linux native, they probably won't even have to have a lot of work, because, yeah, if they were willing to put in the work to get Vortex and Mod Organizer 2 just there, available, then this is not going to be that much work at all.
So what you think by next week we're going to be talking about them adding support for this in?
Or? Oh, 100%.
Probably.
Nah,
or they might wait until it's more cooked. But
I'm like, thinking, is it going to be next week or is it going to be next month? Are we gonna forget this thing exists? And then they're going to be like, we added it to all the things.
I'm just saying, good on you, Nexus Mods. The first thing I learned, I posted this, I downloaded it, ran chmod it, boom, popped up. And I was like, wait, I have a Nexus Mods account? Neat. Logged into that. Didn't have any mods, of course. And again, like, it's got to be like crazy low friction, something like this. I can just pop open, select a thing. I'm like, oh, I'll try that. Yeah, that's about where I'm at. So good job, everybody. Weird universe we're living in, and pour yet another one out for our brothers and sisters in macOS.
They just got to keep rolling, 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 rolling.
You need to be very careful while rolling because Hypnodolphin compels you.
I can't make dolphin noises, otherwise I wouldn't.
You got to breathe in, breathe out, hands up, or hands down. You don't have to have
like epilepsy warnings and shit like that. We need one for like Hypnotoad warnings on this one, dude.
Yeah, so Dolphin, they have an announcement. Dolphin 6.0 is canceled. It's not going to exist. Now you get rolling releases, all thanks to the magic of continuous integration and quote-unquote easy-to-use Git merge tools. I put that, that's not from them, that is just for me working with developers. They don't know how to use Git. So they're talking about the release process, they're talking about how they're going to be handling the versioning going forward. It's going to be date-stamped, they're going to be Git hashes on the builds. This is going to allow them to push out new features and push out bug fixes a lot faster than they were previously, because they had essentially feature freezes. So if there was a bug, you had to wait till everyone got their code together in order for it to be sent out to people. Now they can respond pretty easily. They also have a new logo that is barely distinguishable from the old one.
What are you talking about? Like, this is like, whoa.
Whoa. It's completely
dude,
different.
Are you kidding me? Like, that's like...
So it's clearly more saturated, and the geometry also seems to be a lot less rigid. It seems a little softer.
Thank you for explaining my joke for me, Pedro. I really appreciate it.
It's fun, isn't it, guys? I love it.
More round.
we get our original logo as somebody who arts on the occasion. This is like, oh, I had that flat. I went and dig it, but I said add bezel. Boom, done. Our new one.
Shading.
Basically the same thing, but it's a bit more flat. More squish.
It's got some gradient to it. Yeah, it's a little more sweepy lines.
The fin is a little not quite as aggressive. Doesn't go rawr so hard.
Yeah, the little inside wave is
already on it. Yes, the other one. It's just
the wave
that
is
this
a little
one,
shorter.
Like the lighter blue is a little more saturated, a little more.
Yeah. It's like clearly there was a board graphic designer who needed to rework something. I don't know if you're gonna change your logo. I guess I appreciate just trying to like progress it a little bit, but
yeah. Don't do the
Google thing. Yeah, because there's a line there, right?
There is so much to be said about being able to quickly visually identify something. Like if you've gotten something, a project that's been around for a decade, 5 years, 3 years, don't change it to like, oh, it was Dolphin. What is it now? Oh, it's a ham. I'm like,
don't you like Authenticator being a butthole now?
I don't use Google Authenticator. Thank you very much.
The thing that annoys me is Google Maps, because I keep looking for like the map icon, but it's not the map icon. Now it's just the pin.
The hack I have is when I pull that up, I've memorized left, center, right.
Coordinates.
Yes,
where it
that's,
is.
Yeah. That's the only way I can do it, because as soon as I focus on it, my brain goes, ding, which one's which?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My hack is I have... On one of the home screens, I have a block of four maps as the icon, so that my odds of me selecting that one.
Dude, I tried to put them like all in a bubble, and like, no, my brain's still short circuited when I open and expanded, and I'm like, that one.
Yeah. Again, I'm of two minds of it. Yeah, to what Ben said, it's good to like, if you're gonna change your logo, make it basically indistinguishable from the old one, so people like know what it is.
Some strong visual clues, like
right. Or if you're gonna change it, maybe think about like a new visual identity. I don't know. It's a dolphin. There's only so many ways you can have a dolphin that's not all creepy. Maybe lean into creepy dolphin. Maybe
give them
that's
feet.
What we
need. I dare you.
See, you have to be careful with feet. Creepy dolphin, because no, Sega might have some echo lawsuits.
No, snorky talk man, motherfucker. Yeah. Like thousands of years ago, our people retreated into the sea.
Echo the Dolphin, that's the game I played on the Game Gear the most.
And that was from Ocean. Remember the Ocean, the developer Ocean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
But, it's good. That's a good thing, because they were talking about the... were talking about how all during the freeze periods, they... Jordan's acting like a seal, and I don't know how to react to that.
Give me a fish. Fuck you.
they were talking about how during like the code freezes, a bunch of developers just hated it, and some of them just said, you know what, we're not dealing with this shit, and just left and never came back. So there was very much an incentive to not scare people away during those freezes, and it's legitimately a good idea.
Dolphin started like a lot of projects did, and they're like emails, maybe some forum posts. Like, that was our management system.
Yeah.
Yeah. And version management.
It makes sense what they're trying to do. What I don't entirely agree with is that they're going, we'll never have a stable release again. Don't say that. Even if you don't want to call it a stable release, just
my brother
call
and pasta. Let me tell you about Arch. All right. You don't know what you're missing. All right. Every day is an adventure. Jordan, what did you fucking think of? That's driving me crazy.
Okay. It was just going to be, we need a gritty Dark Souls Echo the Dolphin reboot where you can do dolphin rolls.
Yes.
Dolphin souls. Dolphin souls.
Dolphin souls and dolphin rolls, baby.
This is what I was holding on to. Thank you. Thank you for giving me my time.
Okay, and the currency instead
also,
of being souls, it's
I want to try to get a job.
No, no, it's yeah. fish. It's just fish.
Can we get Pedro hired at SeaWorld?
Blackfish 2, Pedro Mateus. Someone needs to make a dolphin noise,
entirely
like right now.
Horrible. That was a seal noise, thank you very much.
All right. Kiss from a rose, baby. 100%. The Snapdragon reviews, the real reviews, are starting to come out, and we talked about that. It's not amazing, but it's not shit either.
It's first gen. We're going to need to see some... We need software to catch up. We need a couple new revisions of the hardware. But speaking of software catching up, Effects, they have some shit that they are proud to talk about. They have now, with Effects 2407 now... They have support for AVX, and it's a little complicated.
Forspoken.
Did you actually play the game? Do you have an actual opinion on it?
I played Metro, shut up.
Or did you just ever regurgitate one, Pedro?
I played the demo that they made available. I played all through that shit, and boy, did I hate it. Yes.
Okay. So you have half an opinion. I can half respect it. But anyways, yeah, so they have AVX implemented on ARM now, which is a big deal because a lot of games require AVX. But there's a little bit of a problem here.
Dude, that is the game console we never got.
Yeah. The 128-bit. Yeah. I saw that and I'm like, oh man, it's for riggedy reel. It's the Nintendo 128. But here's the deal. AVX on x86 either has a 512-bit interface or a 256-bit interface. And a lot of the functions that you would use AVX for are mappable to SVE hardware on ARM. And so you would think, oh, all we have to do is map all the AVX calls to the SVE calls. Bada bing, bada boom, we're happy. The problem is that most ARM hardware these days only has 128-bit SVE hardware. Theoretically, ARM can support a higher bit rate or a higher bit SVE interfaces. And they were saying that eventually 256-bit ones would come out. But these things don't exist yet. So now they had a decision to make. Try to hack 256-bit AVX onto 128-bit SVE, or not have AVX at all. So as per the blog post, they say bad AVX is generally better than no AVX. And so brainy wunderkind Lisa Rosenzweig, you might remember her from she decided to take a break from just slapping around Apple engineers and explaining why their drivers are shit and how to make better ones, and has decided that she is just going to implement the 256-bit AVX on 128-bit SVE. It works. You can get in-game. They get menu screenshots for Forspoken, Death Stranding, Monster Hunter, Metro 2033, Crisis 3, and Hellblade 2, which is impressive. It might run like shit, but they run on hardware that they were never intended to.
But there's a screenshot of what I can only imagine is Pedro's perfect game. A game where you play as nothing but a giant sword.
I was going to say Doki Doki Literature Club.
Clearly, I see some anime legs.
There
under
is,
that.
If you squint, but
I see some hair, like a hairdo. Yeah,
yeah. There's like a
listen,
couple
I didn't
pom-poms.
Say the sword couldn't have pom poms. You can have a pom pom sword. It's DLC though. Oh wait, no, it's
yeah,
buddy
no,
is battle pass.
Wait, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of the pom-poms. Big chunky sword. Yes. And the thing that I because I went pixel peeping on the Helldivers 2 screenshot. 27 FPS. Granted, that's the tutorial, and there's nothing happening. There's no explosions. There's nothing. It's literally just the character looking at the sign off in the distance. That's impressive. That's legitimately impressive, very, very good. And yeah, why would you spoil that by starting the article with fucking Forspoken?
I mean, listen.
You can spoil it with Helldivers instead.
Listen, AVX is so powerful it didn't immediately like break out of the console, kick down the back door, and run out screeching into the night. That poor little ARM CPU having to put up with Forspoken. Listen, they had the decency to put it on a W7500 Pro. Come on.
Yeah, the NVIDIA Orin SoC with a Radeon W7500.
Well, would you want a Tango with the NVIDIA blob drivers on ARM to try and get something like that working?
That's legit. I'm just saying, well played on green CPU with a red GPU.
I mean, listen, if you're going to test something, you might as well give it as many fuck boxes as you can, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful job. How does this benefit us? I mean, so when we finally have good ARM CPUs from you, Qualcomm, that are not attached to $1,200 laptops that I don't want, are we just going to be able to like load up Linux and start playing games or what?
You'll have to load Fex on top of that.
You have to set up Fex and the environment for that. But like,
so when what you're saying is the new Steam Deck is confirmed to be ARM.
Well,
and we'll just have Fex loaded out of the box.
And that's like very real. Is that like Proton might just magically handle this just behind the scenes, right?
You just know that, maybe not all of it, but a large chunk of it, it's just going to just work, right?
You hit the play button on Steam.
And I say that knowing nothing about the graphics stack.
That's the thing. If you can keep using Radeon graphics on ARM, once you start getting into the Mali side of things,
Panfrost.
Yeah,
they're working on that. That's in progress.
That's legitimately bad. That's when you have a bad time. But that's major progress, and that's really, really good to see.
I wish him the best of luck. All right, moving on to our last story of the night. We got to pour one out for the game industry. The poor upstarts, the little scrappy indie teams like Microsoft and all the other ones. Revenue from game subscriptions like Xbox Game Pass, because, you know, let's face it, Game Pass comes to mind when you hear game subscriptions, has barely grown in 2 years. How much is barely? It's only up 1%. It's not going. No, is it neutral? No, it's gone up. Just only 1%.
Unacceptable. Completely.
Throw it out. Gotta throw it out.
Baby bathwater. Yeah, all of it.
Sorry, my infinite growth can hear you.
So, you know, and this is across the board. Like, but, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Game Pass, everybody I talk to has Game Pass. They're like, it's fucking great. And like, seems to be, right? It's incredible value.
Like, right. Hands down, the best deal for gaming.
And I've often said if like Steam had the equivalent of that, and like, yeah, I'd get Steam Pass. But I don't think this is, there's any controversy tied to this. It's killed game sales on Xbox. Just Xbox has turned into, I'll wait for it to show up on Game Pass. Like, why would I go spend $60-$70 for this game? It'll be on Game Pass. That's why.
You can blame Microsoft for that because they bought the studio specifically to do so.
Well, this is a thing where like Microsoft would be able to do this in a way that like Valve couldn't necessarily, because it essentially just becomes a giant revenue sharing scheme, right? Where the proceeds from Starfield also in some degree fund Hi-Fi Rush and stuff like that, because it's all under the same hood. Speaking of, this is why Hi-Fi Rush can be a critical success and tank financially. Yeah. Also, the fact that they didn't promote it at all.
Right, it was a stealth release. You're like, hey.
And why is no one buying this game? Oh my, ugh.
That's the thing. The game actually sold very well for the no marketing that it had. It's just, expectation that you have to keep growing year on year. You have the shareholders going, why aren't you making more money this year than you did last year?
Well, Mr. Booty, one of Xbox's game studios persons, he's saying we want to focus on
that name.
you want
Pedro,
some booty.
Listen, dude, you live in a country where you can download a fucking form and mail it in, won't cost you a dime.
I know.
All right,
but
just,
like,
wait, I think
name,
it's like
just have the name Booty. It's like,
Pedro Booty.
Calipigious.
Calipigious
booty. Yes.
Pee booty. That's what it is. It's like, you know what? Never mind. I'm gonna back out of that one. But booty is saying they want to focus on high impact titles. And this means that they want essentially premium sales. We were talking about the marketing analytics a couple weeks ago, where premium purchases are making up what, like 40% of all game sales. And so this seems like it's going to be a shift. Are we going to see stuff like Game Pass's price increase and like the more affordable tiers are going away? Because what it seems to be happening, and we're seeing like Netflix do this as well, they're getting rid of the ad-supported tier. Amazon Prime is now injecting ads into their Prime Instant Video thing because raising the subscriptions, the strategy being, if we can just get more whales, we don't care if fewer people are subscribing overall. If we can get fewer people who will spend more money, that's who we want to go after. Fuck all the rest of these guys. We've seen this in mobile games as well. So I don't know. Is this sort of like the future where a move like this would need to go for Microsoft?
That is the mobile move, is to target the whales.
We target the whales, but here's my like two things I'm going to say about this is Microsoft buying all these studios. Then the knee jerk is like, where are the games? Games take a long time to make. Now, anybody watch the Microsoft showcase are like, oh, that's what y'all motherfuckers are up to. Not defending Microsoft here. They are playing a bit of a long game on this. Like, they do have a strategy with a bunch of games. And I'm like, okay, as long as you like samurai games, they got you covered in the future, man.
And Avowed. Avowed is not entirely samurai.
Right, and like the one that looks like, here's the Western version of Final Fantasy.
I'm genuinely curious about Avowed because it is very much, we have Skyrim at home, and they already have Skyrim at home. So.
That's the thing. It's what if Skyrim was Outer Worlds? That seems to be the vibe that they're going for.
What if Skyrim is Outer Worlds and Pillars of Eternity? Which I'm super into. I am.
All right.
Go on.
Now, here's the thing, dude. Of course, it's going to slow down because people aren't buying Xboxes. Everybody wants an Xbox. Has an Xbox. They got one. They probably bought one early. Game Pass is out. Like, oh, it's cool. It's a good reason to keep your Xbox around. So here's what I want to know. Where even is this growth potential? I want to know if you're in the audience, if you're somebody, I've yet to meet this person. And I want your like logic behind it because somebody's like getting ready to type in. They're like, well, you can use Game Pass on PC. And I'm like, true. I know people use Game Pass on PC, but they have an Xbox. I was asking Ogie that, and I was like, yeah, you got a Game Pass. He was like, yeah, but I got an Xbox. I'm like, it was just like a knee-jerk thing. I was like, oh yeah, I didn't get it for PC. Is anybody out there getting Game Pass? Do you have Game Pass currently at home and no Xbox? Does this person exist? Like, because that's the only growth potential for Game Pass that I see right now, because I don't think any amount of exclusives, early titles, all that going on is going to get somebody to buy an Xbox. And I don't think people buy Game Pass for PC often, right?
I don't know.
I'm curious. I want to know.
I don't know. I've long suspected that eventually Xbox may just transition into a service, period. It is no longer a piece of hardware that you buy, and it is just Microsoft's gaming service.
They could easily do that. They have the everything in place to do that already. They're Microsoft.
Sort of like what they did with Zune.
Yeah. There was already the move by that one team of like two or three people that got the Game Pass working on Steam Deck. It involved a lot of steps. It involved loading the Edge flat pack and giving it permissions to access the controls and everything. But there's a very popular, you know, gaming handheld going around that would make a lot of sense for Microsoft to make the client available on Steam.
The MSI Claw?
Yeah. It's got RGB, bro.
I gotta get off this fucking
ROG Ally, because it's actually available in countries like Australia.
There was a ROG Ally on my fucking auction site.
How much? Over 300.
It went for over 500. I was so sad. I was hoping to scoop it for like 150 at most. I'm like, who the fuck actually wants this thing, right?
People aside who aren't Linux nerds, they don't know better. Like, they look at the Steam Deck and they're like, ah, that's Linuxy stuff. Like, maybe they know that much, but they have the familiarity. They have the false hope of like, I know Windows. I got this, and they get to experience Windows on a handheld device, then it goes back onto the auction site.
Right, and,
the worst
and like
possible, yeah,
yeah, and like straight up, I literally want it to like put in a frame and like and put it on my wall as like a curiosity, right? It's that thing in my den, like the mounted lion head.
All right,
yeah. All right, and here's my ROG Ally. It's right next to my Nokia N-Gage. It's my Y wall.
How do people feel in general about like game subscription services? Like, because you know, I see that brought out. We talk about Valve a lot. We talk about the Steam Deck a lot. Why? Because, well, I mean, they have native Linux clients, and they've been around the Proton, Steam Deck. A bunch of great stuff has come out that a lot of other projects have benefited from. And, you know, and it did start with, like, Unity having a Linux export option. Like, whoa, what's going on? But where do you have that understanding when you talk about, like, well, you don't really own the games. Like, yeah, we all get that, though, right? Like, is that even in the conversation? Is there anybody out there that's going, wait, what? I'm like, well, it's a license to play it. So
this is where, and maybe this is overlapping a bit with like the hate mail segment, but this is where I think like streaming games like actually have like a valid niche. If you're going to be paying for a subscription service, mm-hmm. Stadia making people just fucking buy the games as opposed to like pay us $100 a month and you can play whatever you want. Right. Like,
right. Or, you know, if it's like $10 a month and you get a selection of game, well, again, we'll get into it. Stay tuned mm-hmm. for that. Pedro, do you have any closing words for our, Do you have any advice for Microsoft how they can juice up these Game Pass sales?
Give Jordan $10 million. I think that's a great way to juice up Game Pass sales.
It'll fund our Dolphin Souls.
I already mentioned this last time when they the thing for the Steam Deck is like, do you need someone to give you the $100 to put a actual client on the Steam store for Game Pass? Just make that available directly on Steam. Do you need someone to give you the $100 for that? Because I'll do it.
I'll take $100.
There
okay,
you go.
Then you put the official Game Pass thing on
do
Steam.
Do it, man.
I absolutely will, Pedro. I 100% will. I promise you.
App image or whatever it is. Bookmark Game Pass. Upload it. Totally not Edge with Game Pass in a book. See how long you can just make it.
No. It's the Lutris. I'm just going to link the Lutris installer for it in an Explorer.
There you go. Do it in IE6 though.
Oh, yeah, Opera GX.
IE5.
Ooh, deep cuts. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to share your thoughts with us, we make it real easy. You can do it under the Patreon post. That's a good way to get in touch with us, chat with you back and forth. Any chat system, and if you're watching this on YouTube, I read the comments. I know Pedro reads the comments. Jordan, have you ever read a YouTube comment under one of our videos?
I occasionally go through the YouTube comments just to like try and preempt which is going to be in the hate mail, because it usually shows up on a Saturday. So I'm like, I'm going to try and formulate a response or two in the back of my head.
Right on. And the easiest way to do it is over at LinuxGameCast.com. I know we're old school. We got a website with a contact forum with a bunch of things. If you want to hop on a show, crowdfunding campaign. Had somebody, okay, I got a big nice little warning, like press releases, all this hyperlinks. Send that to this email address, and I shit you not, in my inbox right now, I got a person who filled out the contact form asking where I should send that, where they should send their press release.
You should ask them, like, I don't know, where do you?
Okay, so they only read the first sentence?
No. Just send them an email address.
They just filled out the contact form asking where they should send it. So they blew mm-hmm. right by it.
You should send them a picture of a spider and be like, hi, I'm returning this. I don't want it yeah. anymore.
I'm like, they didn't even send a press release. They sent as, oh man, I was like, okay, you know what? You do you. We'll try it. This is a good way to get old to us. Check that out over interfacing. I almost said Interfacing Linux. You know what?
You should also check out interfacinglinux.com, youtube.com/@interfacinglinux.
Which doesn't work.
Not anymore. At, that's where I said at.
Oh, you have to have the at now. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't hear the at. My bad. Yeah. You can do that. There we go. Coming up tonight, one sweet, but definitely not short, because we were talking about, what was it, Luna last
Amazon
week?
Amazon Luna and GOG.
Yeah.
Yes. They are joining forces to make Guna.
Guna Chessatron.
Yeah. And this comes from Clint. In my mind, I'm going to pretend it's Clint Howard. And I said, I use Luna for playing Lego Fortnite. I was too lazy to turn on my old Windows gaming rig and download Fortnite just to play once with my nephew and then delete it immediately after. It wasn't great, but it was good enough for some LEGO commercial branded Minecraft type crap. I've noticed that basically all popular ultra-restrictive kernel-level anti-cheat games have a cloud gaming option now, either through Luna or GeForce Now. Imho, I think it's great because that's one less thing stopping people from staying on Windows, assuming they have a good enough internet connection. And yeah, like, it's very, very true. Like, if you want to play your Fortnites or your Destinies, like, on Linux, you can, you at least have the option to rent a computer from GeForce Now or whatever.
Yeah, the Fork Knife, Destiny 2, others.
Fortnite, you just sideload on Wagroid and you play it in your Steam VR session, right?
Yes, you can.
Obviously.
That is the legitimate use case for streaming, is for when you have developers that have their heads so far up their ass that they actively, hostily refuse to support Linux. Destiny 2.
Clint, you bring up an interesting point that I didn't even think about. How many times have you been like, oh man, I want to play this game maybe for a little bit this afternoon? You're like, right, that bitch is 68 gigs to download. There you go. Like, there's a streaming case right there. I'm like, oh, I just, because it's a game I just want to fuck around in for a minute. You know, it's not a first person shooter. It's something like Lego. And I'm like, yeah, I want to play around with that. There you go. Don't have to worry about having it installed. Which goes to show how impatient we are, because what's it take to download 68 gigs? Like 5 minutes?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Again, depends on your network connection. If yours is good enough to do some game streaming, then you could probably download that pretty quick.
Yeah. Even if it ends up being 10 minutes, that's just a good excuse to get up and stretch your legs.
I think it just goes back to the point that, like, yes, game streaming has a large number of completely valid use cases, but they tend to work best in tandem with actually owning the game and being able to run it locally as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And streaming services
like GeForce Now that tie onto the accounts that already have the games, those will always be better.
This is one of the things that Stadia absolutely, positively, guaranteedly fucked up. They made you buy the whole fucking game.
Mm-hmm.
With Stadia, you're like, I gotta spend $60 and I don't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody else figured this out except Google.
Mm-hmm.
No, everyone's going to want to have Stadia for the
controller
exclusives and all of the...
Look at this shill trying to plug your favorite streamers.
I had a lovely sushi lunch with a dude who I was chatting with, and he's like, oh yeah, I work on Stadia and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so are you going to brush up that resume?
Yeah. So how long until you're not working on Stadia?
Yeah, it's like, I feel bad for you, because if I knew that my project was going to get axed, but I have to like delude myself into saying there is a future so that I can motivate myself to actually continue mm-hmm. going to work.
You know, I think I'm on record as actually genuinely saying, like, when we were talking initially about the Stadia release, I'm like, I think this is too big for Google to fucking kill. I was wrong, man.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. There's going to be Mr. Rogers in his bloodstained sweater and fucking Feedburner are the only two things left on top of this hill.
it's going to be right after they kill Gmail and Google Docs.
Yeah, I mean, whoever is in charge of Feedburner has somebody on, like, one of the two founders, man. Because
I imagine it's like some God Emperor of Mankind shit where it's just like some dead dude like hooked up to a chair and everyone's afraid to move the chair.
It's the lizard people. The lizard people actually use feed burners, so they can.
You better be fucking careful. These people are like, finally, man, you did it.
Yeah.
DM me, bro. We'll have a real conversation. I'll tell you how the world
really
works.
Those sexy lizard people going to their orgies, lying in giant piles, combining their
listening to snake jazz.
Beautiful party, people. If you want to help fund this orgy, you can do that. Patreon.com/LinuxGameCast. We got a bunch of levels, bunch of rewards as a thank you for hanging out with us. As always, you watch a show for absolutely free and download it for free. But, you know, we give you a version without ads, no YouTube, and you can download that. Don't worry about it. Pre super shows and live and uncut. You name it. We do some gaming streams. I do Trackmania. We got a private Trackmania server if you're a Twitch sub or a patron. Come play with us on Tuesdays and Fridays. We'd love to have you. Jordan's doing streaming on his Outer World. Jordan's doing the free on Epic streams.
Pretty much. They keep putting up games that I was like, I'm going to wait until they go on sale. And then they go on sale for $0. And I'm like, yay!
Why the hell not? Right.
I, and I'm, and in the back of my head, I'm like, I have to play all of these games at least a little bit before the Epic Game Store shuts down and I lose them because those aren't actually my games. They're not actually free. I don't own them.
Fair enough. And we got LibrePay, PayPal, of course, Magic Internet Money, but we also have an Amazon wish list. If you want to pick up something for one of the hosts or the studio, send in a note. We'd love to read it and publicly shame you for being fiscally irresponsible because we love you that much. And of course, store.linuxgamecast.com, where you can get merch like Frank's Obey shirt and stickers that say naughty things. Yeah. You can't get this poster, though, because I only made one.
Yes. Hell. So naughty.
Great. Now I got to go back and bleep that. You motherfucker.
Outside of all the F-bombs and S-bombs and whatever else you said during the show.
We have a PureFlix contract that we need to adhere to. We all sign the morality clause.
This podcast is never going to go myrrh.
We're no longer being sponsored by ChristianMingle.com.
We need to get married before we can have sex. Okay.
We established last week. Only feds.
Yes.
No, it's only feds now. It's Fedi.sh, the decentralized OnlyFans network.
That's what they mean. Like that when they talk about federated timeline. Yeah, right, probably anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, on that bombshell, it is time to cue the music. You can always catch us here live on Twitch, doing Twitchy things at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. Jordan streams at 7:30 on Thursdays. I do weekly daily Wednesdays on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. And Tuesdays, Trek Mania is at 5 p.m. Eastern. It's all on the schedule over on Twitch. Go check it out. But if you want to get in touch with me, at Vin Stone on X, Mastodon, mast.linuxgamecast.com, at Vin over there, and I'm just the Vin Stone on Blue Sky. People are still rocking and rolling with that. And of course, go check out Interfacing Linux. I got a new video in the works. It's pretty dope. You know how people like to play around with old server hardware? I'm like, fuck it, let's play around with some old broadcast hardware on Linux and see what happens. That'll be out coming soon.
I'm Jordan. I'm your favorite marine life form. Feed me some fish. On Twitter at The Burning Fool, on Blue Sky at Frojo at bsky.app, or on Mastodon at frojo.mast.linuxgamecast.com.
And thankfully this week we didn't have any other echoes outside of that one dolphin reference. So there's that. if you have any ideas of what other dolphin games were actually good outside of Echo the Dolphin on the Game Gear, please do let me know on... unaccounted for with the actual number 4 at mass.linuxgamecast.com.
All right, Other Vin, roll those credits.
It's time.
That's the wrong button, Other Vin. Get your shit together.
It's the Steam. Oh, it's the wrong one. it's a little scratchy cuddling, but we got there eventually. We gotta thank all the people flying into space. We gotta thank our advisors.
An effort was made regarding cuddling.
Omega, Sarthera, and we got our executive producers. We got Barbara M. Scott, Atomic, Mike, Tomaj, David E. Ship, Ian, Kurducky, Hoplo, 1234, and Drummer. And our Lundicky fans, Super Death Stoat, Empty, Glorious Egg Roll, and Turbo Tree Sloth.
And the sea monsters were Noah Rider, X Machina, Traji, Veritanuda, Justin, Darkwing, System D, Desing Joe, DeKresny, Ogi One, and Frostclaw. And Death Notes, Nova, Chad, Romeo, Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Jill, Benjamin, Doom 2.Watt, Stephen B. Beck, Dodger, Xeno, Rue, Turnover, Pebble, M. Foxdog, Svein, Jaloux, and Piper. There we go.
And of course, all our fine upstanding cannibals, our fuck buddies, Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, New Aldeus, Knuckles, Johnny, Shep, Gamatron, you know a DSN, Joy, Aromatic, Devin, Kai, Joe, Rye, we thank you very much. Until next week. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, go install Game Pass on your Steam Deck.
Install Edge first, and then Edge a little
bit. It's easier now.
Dude, somebody should make like a Netscape Navigator 4 flat pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ships with the 2.2 kernel in the namespace. Yeah.
He did the rest of the Linux that you need attached to it to get that ship back up and running.
2 gigabyte flat pack, yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Five dudes.